Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Amy provide helpful tips on how to get ready for anything that comes your way. And now, your hosts, Doug and Amy.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. This week, we're going to take a step back and look at a broader section of topics. And I think that this is appropriate when you look at the current events of the day, because as we listen to the news, this week has been a very tumultuous week. I mean, we've had there's war in Israel. There's you know, last week Egypt tried to broker a peace agreement. Israel said that they would go for it. Hamas said that they wouldn't. There's infighting. The Israeli prime minister started to compare the insurgency in Gaza with ISIS in Iran and Iraq and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, and you see this kind of like network of uncertainty throughout the region. Then you throw into the mix what's going on in Ukraine with the airliner being shot down and the uncertainty of which side do it. Both sides are blaming the other. You've got people saying that it was the Russians. You have people saying that it was Ukrainian separatists. You have people saying it was pro-Russian forces in Ukraine. Nobody knows, but all we do know is nearly 300 people died. And in the midst of this, our president turns around and says, It might be a terrible tragedy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're.
I really hope he misspoke on that, by the way.
Yeah.
I really hope he looked back and said,
Well, what you do is if you misspeak is you say, you know what, I misspoke, and mm-hmm. here's what's going on.
Maybe
and
you move forward. I just really hope he noticed, you know, afterwards.
Well, it's been what, about 10 days since he made that statement, and we haven't heard anything out of him about it since? Well. Anything about it? I mean, I know that the White House has been issuing press releases about them sending all the aid they can to figure out what happened. But right off the bat, the State Department blamed Russia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what happened over there, but I know that everybody is using this as a political football to try to gain brownie points. But here we have war in Ukraine right on Russia's border. We have war on Israel border. We have Egypt trying to broker an intervention. And all of this goes back to the Arab Spring. I mean, this is... A huge political upheaval that was created by economic disparity and rising food prices. The reason the Arab Spring happened is because the cost of grain was going up and up and up. And as the cost of grain went up, the ability of people to feed themselves became diminished to the point where they were willing to riot and overthrow the government to try to get it. Because they turned to their government and said, we can't afford food. Feed us. And the government said, we don't have any money either. Which is really very appropriate to the mission of this show, which is to educate people about the future and get people ready for the future.
Well, and yeah, and these are a lot of red flags that are being put up right now. And I know that people out there who call themselves preppers, or, you know, there's people out there who do emergency preparedness that do not call themselves preppers only because they, you know, maybe don't care too much for, you know, being labeled that way. But let me tell you, honey, if you are, you know, working on emergency preparedness of any sort, you are a prepper. But this show is for you. You know, we as people who are interested in emergency preparedness are very interested, of course, in what's going on. You know, we don't need to just close our eyes to what's going on out in the world. And it's very important for us, I guess, really to stay on top of these current events.
Well, there are lessons to be learned about what can happen mm-hmm. here, too. People in America think that they're completely isolated, that this is, you know, stable, that we have security, that nothing could ever happen again. We'll never have another Great Depression. We'll never have the kind of I'll never lose my job.
Right. You know, too big to fail, right?
The definition of a recession is when your neighbor loses his job. A depression is when you lose yours.
Right.
Right. I mean,
right.
So people here don't think that mm-hmm. this is going to happen to them. But when you look around the world, it's happening daily. And you can see the way that humans react to these stress and this crisis. You know, it's not like in the movies, but in some ways it's worse. And if you watch current events and you see what's happening around the world, you can be a little bit, you can have a little foreknowledge of what could happen here. And it's not always a one-to-one example because there's economic differences, there's societal differences. But my goodness, when people get hungry, they do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
For me, it's get very grumpy. But some people out there, you know, when you're faced with starvation for your children, you'll do whatever it takes.
Absolutely.
And so we take these lessons and apply them to our lives. And when we look at the world and we realize how fragile the peace, you know, we're in an era of Pax Americana. It's like when the Roman Empire existed, there was peace because there was a central place where authority issued out from. And America has been the hegemon of the world stage for almost 25 years now. America has been the superpower, not a superpower, mm-hmm. the superpower, projecting influence around the world. You cannot go to any country in this world and not find a McDonald's. You cannot take a Coke bottle anywhere in this world and set it down and have people go, "What is that?"
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows we have been exporting the American dream for decades. We have been exporting our sole source of power and authority for, like I said, almost 25 years. And this has had an impact. And the impact it's had is that wars are very localized. They're very regional. You have civil wars, not you know, interstate conflicts as much anymore. I can't really think of a two-country war other than the Ukraine and Russian war going on right now, which even there, it could easily be characterized as a civil war because Ukraine was a part mm-hmm. of the Soviet Union for, again, almost a century.
Right.
So, you know, these kind of internal conflicts pop up, but you don't see interstate fighting. And that's because America steps in and puts its foot down all the time. But we're starting to back away from that. We're getting a new foreign policy where we're like, well, you know, we're not going to spend money on defense. It's always the question, guns or butter, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, which way are you going to spend your money? And for many years, we focused on guns. Then we started doing more and more social programs. And we focused on butter and our military degraded. Then we started getting involved in multiple foreign wars. I mean, between Iraq, Afghanistan, and everything that we're doing globally right now, we're stretched as thin as can be. And we're having to pour money into these wars, trillions of dollars a year into war, trillions of dollars a year into social services. And we're reaching the breaking point. All of these things, I mean, none of this is isolated. All of these things work together to impact our daily lives here in this country. And when we run out of money, what are we going to be buying? We're not going to be buying guns or butter. And what's going to happen then? If we're not able to project power globally, then all of these conflicts that are simmering, that haven't been able to boil over because we've got the lid pushed down so hard like a pressure cooker, are going to boil over and explode. And when that happens, there's going to be disruption of food supply. You're not going to be able to get things that are imported. And you know, we make food in this country. We make enough food to feed ourselves and half the world. But we don't make the things that people are accustomed to. The ingredients in Coca-Cola are not grown in Atlanta. The, you know, cashews, Brazil nuts, all basically every nut other than pecans and almonds and walnuts are grown overseas and imported. You're not going to have any of that. Vanilla extract. All these things are going to be disrupted when the global system of peace that America is imposing starts to fall apart. Then add on top of that, if you can't afford guns and you can't afford butter because we're broke, all of the social services here are going to collapse. Forget about having free health care. Forget about getting your EBT cards. Did you know, Amy, that right now in America, 49.2% of Americans receive some form of government assistance?
That is scary numbers.
Yeah, the haves to have-nots, right? The people who put in versus people who take out. We are so freaking close to the breaking point where there are more people taking than giving.
We're walking that line.
And what happens when that happens? What happens? And these are not my numbers or Rush's numbers or Alex Jones's numbers. These are numbers from our government. Mm-hmm. This is from Health and Human Services saying, yeah, look, 49.2% of Americans have to have assistance from the government just to survive. Did you know in Alabama, it's two-thirds?
Wow.
Two-thirds of all people in Alabama receive some form of government assistance to survive. How do we do this? And so we're looking forward. The point of this is not to delve off into a current events topic to just discuss, well, what do we do with this current event? Or what do we do, you know, now? Do you support Israel? Everybody call in 1-800-TRUE-PREP and say, do you support Israel or not? That's not what we do here. There are shows out there all over the radio doing just that. Well, how do you feel about Israel? How do you feel about Ukraine? How do you feel about a jet getting shot down? I don't care. The truth is that all these things happen and they impact us and we have to be ready. And that's why we're Ready Radio, is because we're here to tell you what's going on in the world and how to be ready for it. And part of being ready is having preparedness as a mindset, having liberty as a way of life. These are fundamental themes that we repeat over and over here, telling people that you can be more than just an automaton in the machine. You can be more than part of a brave new world. You can live in another year besides 1984. And the way you do that is to connect to the ground, to adopt Jeffersonian principles, to believe in yourself and to do for yourself and to make sure that your supplies are ready for you. And we talk about this week after week. And in the light of current events, in the light of things that are going to happen, things that we know are going to happen, when the Fed announced that they're going to stop quantitative easing, we know interest rates are going to go up. We know that's going to impact people who carry credit card debt. We know that that's going to kill people who have ARMs, you know, adjustable rate mortgages. As the interest rate leaves zero, a historic low of zero. I mean, you can't go lower than zero. The only thing that they could do to more stimulate the economy is start giving people money for free because they needed money. You could go to the bank and say, I would like to borrow $500. And the bank says, all right, well, with your negative interest rate, you're going to not only get the $500, but we're going to give you 10 bucks a week on top of it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Where else can we go but up? The interest rates must rise, and everyone knows this. Well, as interest rates rise, then down comes the ability to get capital to be able to invest in anything, and off we are to the races. I was listening to NPR last night on All Things Considered, or it was Marketplace, and they said that private companies have nearly $14 trillion in cash in this country stockpiled away. What on earth are companies doing stockpiling cash? It makes no sense. They're not getting any interest. The interest rate's zero.
All right.
Why put all that cash away? Because they know that the time is coming when they are not going to be able to borrow capital to do anything. Mm-hmm. When the capital market shuts down, that's 2008. And that's when everything falls apart.
Well, they're in essence becoming their own banks.
Yes, exactly. They're hoarding cash to be able to use it in the future. Because there's no interest rate, so there's no incentive to invest it in a bank. Well, without that money going into the bank can't make loans. Without that money being in circulation, there's no velocity, which is what we talked about last week. And poof, there we are. We're going to hit stagflation. All of these things pull together. So what do we do about it? We have to be ready. We have to be our own bank. And that's one of the things that we're going to discuss today as a broad overview of what is prepping and why do we do it. We're coming up on a commercial break, folks. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back, folks. So as we left at the last break, we were talking about all of these uncertainties and the problems that are coming up and these red flags that we've been noticing both over the last week and the last couple months and really the last few years, leading all the way back to the Arab Spring and the global food crisis. And as we look forward, one of the big questions is, well, what do you do? I mean, how do you prepare for everything? And I think that that is one of the problems that people, the pitfalls that people fall into is thinking that, well, the problem is just insurmountable. There's no way that I can be ready for everything that's coming my way. And that's something that we're faced with every day. Right, Amy?
Right, Doug. But one of the things, if you're ready for one thing, you're in essence ready for multiple things. And when you look at emergency preparedness, there are so many things that you can do. But first of all, I would caution our listeners, if this isn't something that you've been currently doing, just be careful not to get overwhelmed. I know that you know, this can be a very overwhelming topic. It can be very overwhelming when you look at just this long list of things that you would, you know, need to do to become more self-sufficient in a world that, you know, your dollar isn't worth a penny.
Yeah. I mean, the eroding value of the dollar and the problems that we face are things that are going to come no matter what you do. You can stick your head in the sand. You can ignore it. You can take the Soma pill and try to say, hey, everything's going to be okay. You can sing the Everything is Awesome song and go in lockstep with mainstream media. But guess what? Inflation is happening. I mean, you listen to Marketplace, And they say, inflation's dead, inflation's dead. Well, you know what? Inflation's not dead. If you look at real things that people buy on a daily basis, inflation is rampant. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody plays a shell game and say, well, that may be true, but heavy durable equipment prices haven't risen in 10 years. So if you average, you know, $1 billion worth of Caterpillar sales, which haven't gone up, versus, you know, your steak in the grocery store, there's almost no inflation whatsoever.
Right.
Well, yeah, sure, you can skew numbers, but any person out there who is buying gas and buying groceries and going to a movie theater realizes that the prices have inflated.
Yeah, my husband said just the other day, he said, we went to go see a movie. He said, I'm going to have to take out a loan if you guys want popcorn and soda.
Yeah. Well,
he said it yesterday.
Go to McDonald's and buy a double cheeseburger. How many slices of cheese are on it?
One.
Yeah. That's... Mm-hmm. That's a 50% reduction in the amount of cheese on that double cheeseburger. And if you and that,
that doesn't
you
know, say double cheese, double you know, well, double burger, double cheese. I guess
it used to be actually. Yeah. It used to be that a double cheeseburger was two slices of meat and two slices of cheese on a bun, right? And so when they decided to cut costs to keep it on the dollar menu, they went to one slice of cheese, and people got upset. So now they have the McDouble, which is two slices of meat, one slice of cheese, and they have the double cheeseburger, which is $1.60 that has two slices of cheese and two pieces of meat. So you're paying 60 cents to get that extra slice of cheese. Mm. Which doesn't make, I mean, it makes no economic sense. And the reason is because the items on the dollar menu are throwaway items. They're trying to get you to come because of that and realize that you will buy, I mean, who's going to just buy like four double cheeseburgers and call it a day? Nobody. So you buy a couple double cheeseburgers and you buy a large fry and a drink and a parfait and then poof, they've made their profit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a loss leader, but when they, with the real double cheeseburgers, they're not trying to do that anymore. They're actually imparting the cost of that slice of cheese, which is, for them, probably around 30 cents. And so they're making it profitable again. But we see this inflationary trend everywhere, and the government says, no inflation, but that's not true. We all know that there's inflation. So what do we do? And the impetus of inflation is always buy today. That's why we have inflation. If we had deflation, if prices were going down, everyone would save. We covered this. We've talked about this. So
And for our listeners who haven't heard, you know, go to readyradio.net. This you had a brilliant show our last week that they can go back if they did miss this topic. Then they go back and hear.
And it shows you that these things are happening. These things are real. So what is our impetus? Our impetus is buy with today's dollars because tomorrow they won't be worth as much. And buy things that are durable. Now, that just I'm using that word in its like literal sense, not in its economic sense. Because durable goods are things like Caterpillars or cars or big screen TVs, things you buy once in 10 years and call it a day. But if you start investing in things which are usable and have a long shelf life. If you start buying freeze-dried foods and canned goods and canned meats and things that you're going to use on a daily basis now, you save money. You can save yourself several percentage points versus the dollars you'd spend tomorrow or a year from now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know, if you look at, you know, for example, I know that Mountain House just came out with freeze-dried ham.
Yes.
Yeah, and the freeze-dried turkey also is now out on the shelves at True Prep.
Gobble, gobble.
And there you go. And so, I mean, if you think about it, this has, what, like a 20, 30-year shelf life.
Yep.
And if you were to purchase it today and open it in 20 years and look at the sticker of how much you paid, you know, for that meat, I mean, I can't even imagine what the cost will be in 20 years.
Yeah, for sure. Well, probably my prediction will be is that it'll be in a different dollar. It'll be a dollar that has the dollar will have crashed and we'll have hyperinflation, and then there will be a new dollar, and the new dollar will reset prices. And your Mountain House that you paid, you know, $30 for this year, in 2050 you might pay $10 for, but they'll be different dollars. Mm-hmm. And in the crisis in between is when you would have saved your bacon or your ham.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
So the dynamic here is if you can store up goods that last, then it's just like having a savings account which is banked against inflation. Now, there are some items that you can have which are better inflationary hedges than others. Gold is traditionally thought of as being a perfect inflationary hedge because the price of gold never changes. Everything else goes up and down, price of gold doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way to do it. The problem is that our buying power is so eroded to the price of gold that people can no longer stockpile gold and still be able, there's no disposable income for stockpiling. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to use whatever you're buying.
Right.
So my suggestion for everyone is to move away from thinking about gold and silver and start to think about food.
Exactly.
Because if you run out of money at the end of the month, you're going to take that gold and trade it in for food.
Exactly.
Well, yep. We'll cut out the middleman, cut out the danger of a bubble, get the food now, put it up, and then have that insurance. And there's a lot of, you've got to be careful, folks. This is a dangerous, dangerous topic because there's scam artists and snake oil salesmen in the long-term storage food market like you would not believe. I heard somebody talk to me this last week about a certain brand that is very similar to Mountain House. They used a name that is reminiscent of Mountain House's distributorship.
Oh, really?
In order to capture part of that goodwill. And they said that, well, I can get a month's worth of food from this company for $99.
Okay.
So I went and started doing some digging because I was, for one, incredulous. And for two, astonished. I wanted to see what can
sure.
you get. Now, this company has an assortment of very interesting foods. They have an apple breakfast. They have an egg breakfast. They have a tortilla-style lunch. They have a black bean dinner and things. And they're high in fiber and all vegetarian and very good for you. So I got into the ingredients list.
Mm-hmm.
It's oatmeal.
Oh.
Every single meal is oatmeal.
Oh.
They add chili powder to make the oatmeal a taco filling.
Okay.
They add black beans and things to make it a different but every single meal number one ingredient is oatmeal.
Huh.
Well, you know what? I bet if you went to Sam's Club and bought a gigantic bag of oatmeal, you'd have enough calories for a whole month.
Good point.
Yeah. For like $40 instead of $99.
Right.
So what are they doing? They're peddling the idea of security to people who don't know better.
Right.
Are you getting any meat? No. Are you getting any vegetables? No. All you're getting is grains. Mm. Grains and sugar.
Hmm.
Over and over and over again.
Yep.
And what's worse is they don't just market their thing as a 30-day food supply, but you can get 12 of these for a discount and have a whole year of eating nothing but oatmeal.
Well.
I mean, what's wrong with people? I mean, why do people try to take advantage of the situation?
Well, you know, and here's the thing. The first thing that when you said that you could get, you know, a month's worth of food for $99, first of all, just what we're eating today. I mean, I can't. It's like feeding my family, going to the grocery store, having a little bit of money for, you know, the restaurants and stuff. We're well over $99 a week. Well over.
Yeah.
I mean, if this were true, I think I would just go and stock up on that and just feed my family just, you know, if it, but anything that sounds too good to be true, you know, it probably is. But
well, that's one of the things with Mountain House. I mean, Mountain House is freeze-dried food, so it is rather expensive compared to, say, canned green beans or other things like that. But when you, if you work the system, if you go to, you know, use coupons or find things on sale, you can actually get the price per meal, per serving, down around $1.75 per serving. Well, it takes two and a half servings to make me feel like I had a meal. We're still only up to $3.50. If I go to McDonald's and get a value meal off their, you know, dollar menu, it's going to be about $3.50, and I'm going to walk away hungry. But if I eat the Mountain House for $3.50, I don't. Now, if I just go in, you know, to REI and buy a bag of Mountain House, I'm going to pay $7, and then it's diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get the number 10 cans at True Prep. Well, let's talk about this when we come back from the break, because I know we're coming up. We're going to talk more about ways to stretch your dollar in prepping so that you can actually be better prepared without breaking the bank or going into debt. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the Talk of the Town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us. We've been talking, and we started talking about red flags, you know, and it, you know, nowadays, Doug, I don't think you can turn on the news without you know, seeing these red flags popping up everywhere.
I'm going to disagree with you, because just this last week, there was a wonderful story about white flags over the Brooklyn Bridge rather than red flags. So
there we go.
I mean,
perfect. Okay. I stand corrected.
So there's not always red flags. Sometimes there's white flags, too.
Thank goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we left talking about ways that we can stretch our dollar when it comes to putting up food. And I know one of my favorite ways is, and you mentioned like maybe going to Sam's Club. I love to go to Sam's Club and stock up on canned foods and, you know, rice and beans and things like that. But you were mentioning that there was a good way to stretch your dollar with Mountain House.
Yeah, right now at True Prep, Mountain House is on 25% off. And True Prep prices all of their Mountain House at the minimum advertised price anyway. So you cannot find a lower advertised price for Mountain House anywhere in the country. Add on top of that 25% off their already rock bottom prices, and you're really saving money. Now, the trick is you, if you go into REI and buy Mountain House, or you go into Walmart, who also has Mountain House, they are going to carry pouches that are designed for backpackers that are an easy, just add 2 cups of hot water, seal up the bag again, eat it right out of the bag, life is good. And those are cool, but they're kind of like McDonald's or convenience store food because it's a higher price for a smaller package. Think of it like water. If you buy 100,000 gallons of water from the city, you pay like a tenth of a penny per gallon. If you buy a gallon of water at Walmart, you're going to pay 55 cents to a dollar for a gallon. If you buy 16 ounces of water out of a vending machine, you're going to pay $2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you figure out, you know, where you're getting your money, is it the same water? Well, probably. It probably came out of the exact same municipal distillery as anything else. But as you get to a smaller and smaller package, the price per ounce goes higher and higher. And that's what happens with everything. Mountain House is the same way. So you buy the smaller packages, the convenience food style, and you're going to pay a premium. But if you buy it in the number 10 cans, you save a lot of money. The average price for a serving in a number 10 can is about $3. And that's at the minimum advertised price nationwide. So wherever you buy it from, if they're advertising it as the cheapest that you can, or we will not be undersold, those sorts of things, they're at the minimum advertised price. You're going to pay about $3 a serving, give or take, depending on what it is. You know, if you get just like the ham we were talking about or ground beef, that's a lot more expensive because it's just protein. But the meals are about $3 a serving. So if you take $3 a serving and you take 25% off of that, you're going to be paying about $2 and a quarter, give or take, a little less. $2 and a quarter a serving. It takes 2 servings to make me feel satisfied. So less than $5 a serving. Okay, well, if I went to McDonald's and ordered a value menu meal, I would pay about $5 to $6, and I would walk out hungry. I'm a big eater.
Mm-hmm.
If I eat the Mountain House, I'm not. So by taking advantage of a sale, by waiting and shopping and using your dollars wisely, you can actually stock up on Mountain House cheaper than eating out at fast food.
So let me ask you this, and this is kind of one of my, and I already know the answer to this, but one of the things that, you know, kind of comes to mind, if there's such a low price on the Mountain House, I mean, I'm always in the mindset, you know, if something's too good to be true, then it probably is. So one of the things I'm thinking is, okay, I know this stuff has like 20 to 30 year shelf life. You know, how long is it something that they're clearancing out? Is it something that's been on their shelves for a long time that they just need to move? You know, what is the age of the stuff that I'm getting?
Well, any reputable dealer will show you what date the stuff was packaged on. There's date codes on every can, and they will show you exactly how to determine when that was packaged and your appropriate shelf life. Now, I'm sure that there are some places out there that are trying to get rid of old stock, but anyone who's been through True Prep knows that they don't keep a whole bunch of old back stock. Their product is moving and right out on the shelf and gone in a few days, and then they're in the business of restocking. So you're not going to run into those kind of issues at True Prep where you might somewhere else. And before you order online, you should make sure that every can you're getting is guaranteed to be manufactured after a certain date.
Right.
I would contact the sellers and do that. Or, like I said, just go to True Prep because their stock is constantly overturned.
Yeah, one of the things that I really do feel that I'm getting a good product from True Prep also is I know that they keep all of their back stock in the showroom up on the top shelves where it stays air conditioned.
Well, that's not true. They keep all of their food back stock.
The Mountain House or the freeze dried food. Correct. I know that they do have a warehouse in the back where they'll keep, you know, books and, you know, things like that where it's not temperature controlled. But if it is food, any food item, I know that they do keep on the floor so it does stay
temperature control.
Right. Exactly.
And that's very important. Rather than sitting in a 150 degree warehouse somewhere, you know, New Orleans or Death Valley, who knows where your food's coming from? At least here you can see, you know, exactly how it's stored and kept and that it's maintained. And that's a nice thing about our sponsors. Our sponsors are doing the best that they can to help people get prepared, just like we are. And our view of this is that there are ways that you can get prepared, ways that you can be ready for any kind of disaster. It doesn't have to be another Arab Spring. It doesn't have to be the financial collapse of the dollar, although those things have happened and they will happen again. We know that these things do happen. But it could be just the loss of your job. It could be, for me, a recession and you a depression, and how do you get through it? Well, if you have 6 months of food stored up, not just Mountain House, but, you know, canned green beans, canned corn, honey, you know, sugar, salt, long-term storage things so that you've got a full pantry and you have a garden to supplement with, if you have all this, what do you have to do? What bills do you have to pay? And this goes into the mindset of how do you live? Do you live frugally? Do you live as a prepper? Or do you live like everyone else and then just buy some stuff for an emergency? Because a three-day emergency like a hurricane or a tornado is going to have a lot different preparation than a lifetime of being prepared. And the number one thing that you have got to do if you're going to be prepared is get out of debt.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to sound a little bit like Dave Ramsey.
Right. So, I mean, who I love.
We'll steal from Rush. We'll steal from Alex Jones. We'll steal from Dave Ramsey now. But seriously, the idea here is if you have debt, then you are a slave to somebody.
Right. Right.
I want liberty. I want Jefferson's idea of yeoman farmers who are debt-free, who are not indebted to a central bank, who have the ability to choose their own destiny in life. And at any moment, go choose a new destiny if they wish to.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like living in a little micro house.
Micro house. Or,
right.
or living on the edge of the world in Alaska.
Sure.
Whatever your calling is, that you can be free to follow it if you're not encumbered with debt. But here's what happens. You lose your job. You have no income, or your income is cut more than in half because the main breadwinner's lost their job, and you've got the other spouse working at Walmart or Target or something that's, you know, was used as supplementary income before, but now it's everything. Is that supplementary income enough to cover all of your debt payments? Well, if you're debt free, all you have to worry about is feeding yourself and taxes, because the government seems to think that you owe them money on your land that you paid for in fee simple.
Yeah, death and taxes. You know,
that is something that drives me absolutely nuts. Property taxes. This is the most insane system on earth.
Yeah.
That if you own something, we tax you for owning it over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pay it, then we take it. That's not ownership. That's not fee simple ownership. That's renting.
Right.
There are places that do not have property tax in this country. Don't let people tell you, well, that's just the way it is everywhere. That's not true.
Well, it's a mess. Well, I'll tell you what, let's look at a couple other things that we can do to be very proactive in the world of preparedness. And, you know, we talked a little bit about putting away food, and I know that's kind of our go-to. It's very big. That's something that you know, we absolutely need it to survive. You know, the other thing I would challenge our listeners to do is find your water source. If you pull up the tap and no water is coming out, you need a water source. I mean, it could come from the sky, but you need a way to capture it and contain it and purify it. So that's always the second thing that we harp on as far as being, you know, preppers. You know, I don't mind the word, by the way. I don't mind that label. I will call myself a prepper. But so water purification, I mean, that's absolutely something. Find your source and a way to purify it. It's absolutely
essential.
It's essential. There's my word. Thank you. Yeah. And even before your food, because if we do, you know, Doug, putting away this freeze-dried food, which I like, I mean, Mountain House is by far my favorite. I believe not just the quality, but the taste is fantastic. But if you have all this freeze-dried food, you need a way to
hydrate it.
Exactly. And so water really does come first.
Water is a higher need.
It is.
But I think it, honestly, I'm going to disagree with you. I think it's a lower priority because in all of the disasters I've been in, the tap water has still flowed. It may have been contaminated and needed to be purified, but tap water has flowed in every experience I've had. Now, I can imagine instances where it stops completely, but at the point where we're into that scenario, we're so deep that there are so many things that you're going to have that it actually gets scary to me to try to prepare to that level.
Right.
I plan that the water is going to flow, at least for a time, or in a short order, the water starts flowing again. Even if we run out of money as a country, I think that the municipalities are going to keep the water turned on.
Yeah, well, that's one of those things that we just really can't foresee. Yeah. And you bring up a good point, because everybody prepares on different levels. Some people are preparing for like a natural disaster, things that are really, if you look back in the history books, just what the history is littered with. I mean, we see natural disasters every day, and that's some people, that's their primary thing that they're concerned about. Some people just prepare for a week or two, and that's all they're concerned about. I like to kind of look at things sort of at the next level. I like to do my preparedness sort of in stages. And I really do believe when you're prepared for one thing, you're prepared for a lot of things. Now, of course, if let's say you lose your job. That's something that actually did happen to my family. My husband is the major breadwinner, and he lost his job for the entire year of 2011. And we didn't lose our house. We were able to survive on our preps, which helped.
Yeah.
And so I ordered it on Amazon. I still don't have my crystal ball. Hasn't made it here yet. But I just want to be able to look into my crystal ball and see, what's going to happen and what exactly do I need to be prepared for.
Maybe our listeners should send a quick email to info@trueprep.com and suggest they start carrying crystal balls.
Sure.
Folks, we're coming up on a commercial break. I'd ask you to stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have the True Prep product of the week. We're going to discuss a little bit more about how to extreme coupon your way into prosperity with prepping and to be ready for what comes next. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back, everybody. When we took our break, we said that we were going to bring up True Prep's product of the week this week in the next segment. And I think that this week has got a fantastic product. Unfortunately, the product is already half gone. It's kind of like, to steal from Rush Limbaugh again, he used to do an ad when he had dead airtime called the Barnacle Brothers 60-Second Sale. If you aren't here already, you're too late. Well, that's kind of like our product of the week this week.
Great.
Because the product of the week is their canning class. Mm-hmm. Now, you remember, Amy, when we had Mark on the show a couple of months ago to talk about canning.
Yes.
Well, True Prep has got Mark to come teach their canning class. And this weekend, earlier today, they had their first canning class, and they're having a repeat of it tomorrow. Today was jelly and jams and conserves. Tomorrow is pickling, but it's both warm bath canning method, and they've got a new stove in so that they can do demonstrations of the canning. And so when you come in, you will actually can items in the class and learn every step that's necessary to safely and effectively can your produce at home.
Yes, and don't worry if you miss it tomorrow, because you might have church plans or plans with your family. This is going to be something that has been a lot of interest in the canning classes. So it's something that True Prep is going to continue to do, right?
I know that I've been hanging on the bell myself for months trying to get them to get these classes scheduled because they're so important, and it's so hard to get a good canning class.
Yes,
you can. If you go looking for canning classes, you're going to find a bunch of bozos out there who are like trying to pantomime canning without actually having the equipment to do it and not actually show you what needs to be done. And in the end, I mean, it's kind of like trying to teach someone to drive a car only in a classroom. Yeah, there is some classroom aspect to driver's ed, but you've got to get behind the wheel and actually see what happens.
Well, I'm a hands-on person myself, Doug, so yeah.
And so True Prep has gone the extra mile to make sure that they have facilities to actually have a real canning class, one that lives up to Mark's expectations. And Mark not only is an expert canner, but he's a college professor. He taught for years at a college level. And so you're getting a high-quality instruction from somebody who is passionate about the topic in the classroom setting where it's controlled and you can learn what you need to do.
That's exciting.
Not only, you said that there's going to be these classes in the future. Mm-hmm. Not only are there going to be these classes, but they're going to start doing pressure canning classes. So you can can things like chili and meat and things that you can't can with a warm bath method without danger of getting botulism. So
yeah.
The entire prospect going forward of being able to learn every aspect of canning, and this goes back to everything that we're talking about. Canning is essential because you cannot buy your way into being prepared. You cannot become a prepared person just by writing a check. It's a lifestyle.
Well, kind of sometime.
Well, I'm interested to hear your perspective because I think that
you can buy a year's worth of Mountain House food and just stick it in your in your closet and forget about it for 20 years.
And what happens when that year's gone?
So you're talking about after good 2 years.
What happens when 2 years are gone? What happens after?
Well,
happens?
I'm hoping that you can figure it out after 2 years.
Well, but maybe you can and maybe you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have no skills, if you've never planted before, when the food is gone, when your Mountain House supplies, by 20 years. Mm-hmm. In 20 years, when the food supply is gone and you finally have to do something, are you going to have seeds? Are you going to have the knowledge to be able to do it? Are you going to plant all your seeds and they're going to die the first year and you'll have no seeds left at all? I mean, where's the learning curve?
And speaking of the learning curve and kind of getting things figured out, one of the things, too, I always tell people is to make sure you have some really great reference books. Because if you're learning along the way right now, and the canning class is an excellent way to do that,
mm-hmm.
Starting your own seeds, even if it's, you don't have to have a big yard. You could even live in an apartment or, just to raise some little seedlings and some herbs and little tomato plants in a container.
If you're in an apartment and you raise fruit and tomatoes are fruit. Do you know
yes.
what the difference between knowledge and wisdom is?
What is that, Doug?
Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad.
Nice.
Okay.
Yes.
So you take your tomato seeds and grow them, not go buy a plant, but actually grow
yes,
it from a seed
exactly.
in your apartment, get it to fruition, have tomatoes, save the seeds, do it again next
mm-hmm,
year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you are better off in that apartment with that knowledge than somebody who owns 10 acres and has it as a hay field with a horse on it and has never planted
right.
anything. Your knowledge of how to do that combined with somebody who owns land and has no idea what they're doing, you will be the person who has wealth, not them.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And that's one of the things I really enjoy about True Prep is that just all of the books that you have to choose from there. And they cover all the different types of topics and homesteading. There's a lot of homesteading books, a lot of great canning books also.
Well, our product of the week, the week before, one of their new books. It's always new products coming
mm-hmm.
in. There's so much information out there, things that you'd never thought of. It's pulled together in one place. And that's what we're trying to do here is we're trying to pull this information into one place where people, we talk about a variety of topics and there's lots of different aspects of this. There's a lot of things that I'm concerned about going on in the world today that I want people to be aware of. But it's in a certain light. I mean, we're here on this beautiful Saturday talking about prepping. This last week was a big day following the Georgia primaries. There's news all mm-hmm. over about, who won the Republican race for the primary to run for Senate and how are they going to do and what's their campaign strategy. We're not sitting here talking about that because it doesn't really impact how we're going to be ready for tomorrow.
Right.
Now, it may impact the decisions that create catastrophes. I mean, if you get the wrong people in the office, you have a lot higher proportionate percentage of things that are going to go wrong. And I'm concerned about that, too, which is why I talk about liberty rather than politics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But In the grand scheme of things, those are the sorts of things that aren't going to affect being prepared. These are just, like the tide. It comes in and goes out, and it's ebb and flow. But what I'm worried about is the storm.
Right. And, they say that that Noah built the ark in the sunshine, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's important for us to keep. And I know that anybody who is interested in emergency preparedness at all has they're listening. They're looking. They're watching. The things that we're talking about.
They woke up.
Well, absolutely, they woke up.
And that's the important factor, is that you have to be awake. You have to be aware of this world that we're in. And it's important. It's important to realize that there are forces out there that are trying actively, every single day to pull the wool over your eyes. They want you to be asleep. They want you to not. One of my favorite movies is They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper as the main actor. It was a campy 80s era movie. And I encourage every single one of our listeners, run over to YouTube, Google or search on YouTube, They Live, and you can see most of, if not the whole movie on there for free. And it is a fantastic movie. The premise is that aliens have taken over our government.
Okay.
And they are using subliminal messaging in advertising and TV to get people to sleep and not fight and to just go along with the
program.
And
this was a fiction?
Yeah, sometimes you wonder. You know, there's some, especially in the 80s, there are some movies that got made where you scratch your head and you say, you know, how on earth did they get that through? Because it just seems so poignant. Mm-hmm. One of the recent movies that did that to me was the Lego Movie.
Oh, I have not seen it. No.
Watch the Lego Movie.
Oh, really?
I have never seen anything quite as subversive and yet family-oriented and heartwarming ever in my life.
Really?
It is Will Ferrell's greatest achievement in life.
Wow.
I'm not really saying
something.
Well, I'm being a little bit flippant, but I'm not. This movie, they talked about there. You know, there's an overarching central authority. There are people who are trying to be creative and work outside of the plan. There are people who feel that they're nothing, but really they're important. Those are big themes that touch my heart. And I see this coming out. And they sing us. They watch sitcoms. Everybody likes the chain. They asked him, "What's your favorite food?" "My favorite food's chain food." "What's your favorite TV show?" "The most popular TV show." "What's your favorite song?" "The most popular song." No original thought. No creativity. Mm-hmm. And here's a push to be your own person. And that's what we're about. We are about being your own person, folks. Tune in next week. We are at the end of our show. We will talk more about individual liberty next week on Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Amy get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday evenings at 5, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.